Good deal. Well, we are in week two of Mosaic, a series about getting the full picture and glimpse of Jesus throughout the Gospels. You can go ahead and put up the slide whenever it's there. Thank you. Before I begin and pray, I just wanted to have a quick reminder about what's about to change in the church. In a few weeks, the first weekend in October, church service will be at 11 a.m. At what time? 11 a.m. So if you come at 10:45, you can come. You can come in the sanctuary. You can go out in the lobby. And Jamie is actually, bless her heart, is going to be running some refreshments and snacks, right, between 10:35 and 11. And so bring your friends. Bring people out. Invite people to church, right? I want to challenge you. On the first weekend in October, I'm starting a new series on the Gospel of 1 John, and I want to invite you guys to invite people to church. We're going to be talking about how do we prove it? How do we prove it? How does God prove it? That's what we're going to be talking about. So bring people out, and they can have fellowship with us, and then come to church at 11 o'clock. The other thing that's going to happen when you come to church, your Sabbath school classes that meet in here and over here will not be in here anymore. Uh-oh. They're going to be out in the field. Okay? Look at these faces. Some of the faces are looking at me like, what? No, they're not going to be out in the field. They're not going to be in here, though. When you walk in the lobby, if you're in this rear sanctuary Sabbath school class, the main class, you'll keep walking through the doors. You'll walk out the hall, and the second door on your left, you'll go into a big, big room, and there'll be chairs in there, and that's where the Sabbath school class, the rear sanctuary class, is going to meet. The front class here that meets is going to be meeting in the mother's room, okay? And the library class is still meeting in the library. We will have billboard signs to direct people so nobody will get lost, and that's what's going to happen. So we look forward to that, those changes, and I know adjustments are sometimes hard. They are for me. I know when you get into routine, sometimes it gets thrown off and it changes and you have to kind of, what's going on? And you feel out of control, right? So let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for a time to worship you, a time to reflect, a time to look at your word and see what you have in store for us in 2019. Father, you demonstrated through your life on earth what it meant to be the king of the universe, what it meant to be a servant. And you show us that picture of you through Matthew and through Mark. And Father, we just want to take that in right now. We want to internalize it. We want to think about it. And we want to ask some questions about how we can be better servants. And Father, I just pray that you go before me as I speak in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, hold on. Okay, hold on. Hold on, right? Let's see. Clicker? Is the clicker on there, Greg? I'm not getting anything. Hold on. I don't know why it's not working. Oh, here, there, look at, he's holding on. Have you ever been on a ride like that? Raise your hand if you've ever been on one like that with your kids or a kid, or maybe you just don't like the big ones, right? Right? Look at this. They're holding on. Well, some are. The one's not. Right? Pretty tame, right? What about this? Would you hold on for that? It's working now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, thank you. Where's the tracks? That's a good question, because if you're on a roller coaster like that, you'll probably look like this. Right? Now, why did I show you these pictures? Because when you look at the Gospels, okay, Matthew, Luke, and John are like the first two pictures of the wee little roller coaster that kind of goes slow and kind of goes through stuff, and you're like, wee, you know, you're going. Mark is like a fast-paced, crazy roller coaster that has no track sometimes. You're like, where'd he go? Why'd he go? Why'd he jump here? What happened? Right? That's what the Gospel of Mark does. Mark is quick. Mark is fast. Mark is action, 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 action. And did you know, I found this out when I was reading this week and studying this, that the Gospel of Mark, for hundreds of years, thousands of years, had been put on the back burner. They'd said, you know, this gospel, it misses a lot. It doesn't have a lot in it. A lot of the scholars thought that Matthew, Luke, and John were the ones that they needed to focus on. And it wasn't until about 1940, in the 1940s, that Mark, all of a sudden, theologically, began to be taken more seriously. And they thought, hang on, there is some amazing things in here. There is some things that we can learn in here. So, as I said, in the Gospel of Mark, that word immediately, which you hear about so often, is 42 times. We're going to talk about why he does that in just a little bit. But Mark is a fast-paced book, and it's a book of action. You know, some people say that Mark, or John Mark, they called him, was a friend of Paul, but also he worked with Peter. And a lot of Mark is actually Peter's stories that were recorded, that Mark wrote down. And so Mark took those stories from Peter, those firsthand accounts of Jesus, and he wrote those down, which is quite interesting. Mark makes a claim in the beginning of the book. Where's my Bible at? I didn't bring it out. I do have a Bible, Oscar. It's on my desk. Mark makes a claim at the beginning of Mark. Turn to Mark 1. And this is the only opinion that Mark gives in the whole book. The rest of the book, he just tells you stories and does not give his opinion and insert it in any way, shape, or form. This is the only place he gives his opinion. I'm still trying to get there. It's not my Bible. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. There it is. There's Mark's opinion about who Jesus is right there. That's it. The rest of the book is just stories. It's just perspectives. Not Mark, not inserting himself. So, Jesus here in the book of Mark, Christ, is portrayed as a what? As a man of action. It's quick. It's immediately. Right? And there's over 50% of Jesus' miracles are recorded in the Gospel of Mark. So out of all the miracles that are recorded, 50% of them are listed in the Gospel of Mark. 25% of his parables are recorded in Mark. And there's very, very few words of Christ actually in Mark, which is interesting. So, if we consider the temptation in the wilderness as an example, other Gospels give full details and even go through the various things that Jesus was tempted with by the devil, right? But do you know what Mark says? This is all Mark says about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. Where's the details? I mean, I don't know about you, but when I read in the other Gospel accounts of this story and I see all the things Satan said and Satan did and what Jesus said back, I think those are kind of vital, aren't they? Don't you? I mean, I think it's important to understand who Jesus really is and how he combats the devil and how he combats things. But here in Mark, it just says he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. End. Done. Quick. It's quick. But we know in Mark, here's the text that Melly read, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, Jesus throughout the book of Mark is talked about as being the suffering servant. In Matthew, we have this view of Jesus being the king, the coming king. But in Mark, he shifts gears. He downshifts. And he goes to Jesus. Now all of a sudden, instead of he's promoting him to be the king, Mark doesn't even have a genealogy at the beginning of it. He just goes right into, he is a suffering servant. And you know, it says in Mark that Christ was, in 1:41, moved with pity. He was, in 8:2, moved with compassion. He sighed deeply in 8:12. Mark, over and over and over and over again, showed how Jesus was the suffering servant leader. You know, Matthew, as we talked about last week, was written primarily for a Jewish audience. All right? But in the book of Mark, who was he writing to? Do you know who he was writing to? Anybody? Anybody? No? 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 Keep going. Nope. Close. Nope. The Romans. Mark was primarily, his target audience was the Romans. And so as you read Mark, when you put on the glasses and you see the lens he was looking through, you see that Mark actually had to mention that the Jordan was a river. Mark had to mention that Pharisees used to fast. I mean, he wasn't writing to the Jews. He wouldn't have gone into detail about that. He had to mention why the Jews had this hand washing ceremony and how the Mount of Olives overlooked the temple. So Mark had a lot of explaining to do to the Roman audience. And what's interesting is that you might think that this was counterproductive, since Jews during this time would often attempt to impress the Romans. But Rome was a nation of take. I want it, I'll go get it. And when they gave, it was so they could take it back again. That's how Rome worked, right? But Mark presenting Jesus as a humble servant who would suffer for sinners was profound. The style of presentation would have certainly taken most Romans by surprise and even drawn them with interest to, wait a minute, what's he doing? How's this guy doing what he's doing? That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, Christ may not have been the Roman emperor, but he was never a greater leader than when he served. Amen? This, of course, should be the lesson for every modern Christian. We're not on earth to build our empires. We're on earth so that we can serve people. Amen? You know, when Jesus lived in that time period, you had the Jews, you had the Romans, you had Gentiles, you had foreigners, right? You had, within the Jews, you had Samaritans and Pharisees, okay? And you see from the biblical perspective and the historical perspective as well, even outside the Bible, that it was abrasive. They didn't get along, right? In fact, they didn't treat each other. Even within Judaism, they didn't treat each other very kindly. Do we do that in Adventism? Yeah. Right? Today, let's bring it to today. Today we have atheists, we have various Christian denominations, we have Muslims, Hindus, different races, different socioeconomic statuses. Okay? One works in an office and many, many work in a field or in the fields out here. Right? And one votes blue and the other votes red. I don't want to get started on that. But here's the thing. We live today in a society that I believe is even more distant, more condescending to each other, more irreverent than it was in Jesus' time. Because we have racial barriers up. We have socioeconomic barriers that we have. I believe this and you believe that. I have this preference and you have that preference and I don't agree. So I'm not going to treat you very nice. And you know what? I do it. I'll stand up here. I'm a pastor. That doesn't exempt me. I still don't treat people nice sometimes. Huh. Pastor just admitted something, right? So what this does is, when I look at Jesus in the Gospel of Mark and I look at how much he loved people and how he didn't care if he was told he was this or that, he wanted to serve and love the people no matter where they were at. Amen. You know, Jesus wants to remind us today that he has people outside these doors. He has people that he needs them to be served. And he wants to use you and me to serve them. And guess what? I can promise you right now that God has 20 people for you to serve this week. I promise. And me. 20 people to serve. You go, I can't. Yeah, you can. Because with God, you can do anything. I promise you, God has 20 people you can serve this week. You know, I want to read a story that my wife told me about. And it's from the recorder. And some of you may have read this. But it says that it was the first Sabbath in a new church for a pastor. And he remembers it to be memorable for two reasons. The first was that there was this head elder, a retired physician, that said while introducing the young pastor, "Well, our new young pastor just came from the seminary, and I'm sure he's has some new ideas he wants to try out, but we know how to run things here, and we don't need to do anything differently. He can spend more time at his other churches." I thought this man was going to give me a lot of trouble, and immediately I wished someone else was the elder of the church. I would too. The second memorable thing I noticed was two elderly gentlemen were sitting in the very last row of the church while everyone else was sitting on the opposite side in the very front. When I met them after the service, I noticed that their clothes and shoes were dirty, and I was almost overwhelmed by their strong body odor. When I visited their home later, I saw empty food cans scattered around the floor and piles of dirty clothes laying on furniture, and I couldn't understand how people could live like that. At the time, I had no idea how these two observations would affect my understanding of the Christian hospitality and the role of church leadership. After I had been at the church for several weeks, the elder and his wife invited me to their home for Sabbath dinner. When we arrived, I was surprised to see the two elderly brothers there at their house. While the wife got dinner ready, I tried to coax the brothers into talking with little success. After the meal, the head elder left the dining room with one of the brothers. His wife then told me about the brothers and their ministry to them over the years. She said that the men that were now in their 80s, the oldest brother had come back from World War I and was suffering from what was then called shell shock and is now called PTSD. Because the older brother was not able to take care of himself, his younger brother, never married, devoted his life to being the caregiver. Sadly, the younger brother was now suffering from dementia, and they were barely able to take care of themselves. She said that she and her husband had been trying to help them for years. Every Sabbath morning, we pick them up at their house, and after church, we bring them to our home. After the meal is finished, my husband takes one of them into the bathroom, and he helps them undress and get in the bathtub. He washes them from head to toe and shampoos their hair. Afterwards, he has a robe for them to slip into. He then sits the brother in the chair, kneels in front of him, and trims and cleans his fingernails and toenails. Then it's the other brother's turn. While the men are getting their baths, I gather up the dirty clothes and place them in a laundry basket for future washing. I then replace the clothes I washed from their last visit. Every Sabbath, the brothers had only their only hot meal for 1 week, their only bath of 1 week, and their only set of clean clothes to wear during the week. Thanks to the hospitality of this wonderful couple, they did this week after week, year after year, without anybody knowing. While she was telling me the story, I was thinking that this is exactly what Jesus would have done if he had met the brothers. I could picture Jesus helping them into the bathtub, gently washing them, and kneeling before them to clean and clip their nails. Afterwards, I regretted that I had so wrongly judged the elder, and I wished that I had an elder like him in every church. Afterwards, I prayed that my wife and I would be able to offer that kind of loving hospitality and encourage others to do the same. You know, we do have opportunities to serve right here in our own church, but also outside of our church walls and doors, we have opportunities to serve as well. And as I kind of wrap up today, I just want to talk about just four really, really quick things. It says, go serve somebody, right? Go serve somebody. And here are these four things that I kind of have pulled from Mark, and that is servant leaders will raise up what? Servant leaders, right? Servant leaders will raise up servant leaders. And Jesus teaches us that we should give up our attempt to have control and power over other people. In fact, in Mark 10, 42 and 43, this is what it says. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them and their high officials, and exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. We don't like that because we like that authority. We like telling people what to do, right? We like having control. But Jesus says, no, you got to go. You got to go serve. You got to serve because why? Because you got to have my heart. And my heart is after people to captivate them and to love them. Jesus was willing to reach all. In Mark 16:15, he said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, right? To everyone. Jesus was willing to reach all. You know, a few weeks ago, I turned Pam and Russ, my in-laws, onto this guy on YouTube, and he has a great ministry, and he goes around and he prays for people in public. And he firmly believes it, and some amazing things happen because of it. And they're so inspired by it that all of a sudden, I went to their house several times this week and was talking with them. And Pam was telling me, I prayed for three ladies today. I prayed for this person today. I did this for this person today. And you could ask her. She has tons of stories. I have one I'm going to share with you. She went to the pharmacy the other day. I hope I tell this right. She went to the pharmacy in Napa, the new one that opened up, the Rexall Pharmacy. I don't know if you live there. And she's in the parking lot, and she sees this woman in a walker, and she's kind of walking, and she doesn't look very, very happy, and she was having a hard time. And Pam said, God, what should I do? And she just felt so inspired to go pray. So she walked over, and she says, how are you doing today? Not good. And she says, well, God told me I need to come pray with you today. You know, because Jesus can heal. And the lady had something wrong with her back. I can't remember the name of the condition Pam does. And Pam said to this lady, you know, Jesus can heal that. And the lady said, I know he can. She goes, has anybody prayed for you about this? No. She goes, well, I'm going to pray for you right now. Is that okay? And the lady said, sure. Go ahead. So she prayed for this woman. And then the woman went on her way out front. She was waiting. She went inside. And there was another woman in there who didn't look very happy. She was a little younger. And Pam walked up to this woman and said, you know, I just feel really inspired. I just feel like I need to pray for you. And she said, okay. So Pam prayed for this woman. And this woman was so overjoyed and said, thank you so much for your prayers. They both walked out together. And the lady that was in the walker was now smiling because that was her daughter. And Pam had prayed for both the daughter and the mother. And Pam walks out and she has a smile on her face and she goes, how are you feeling? She goes, my back feels better. Like, it feels better. You know, when I heard that story, I go, why don't we believe this? Why don't we believe that God can do amazing things? When we see somebody that's hurting, when we see somebody that's in need, you don't even have to get it right. You can just say, Elmer, I know your knee's bothering you. Elmer, come here, man. Let me pray with you, right? And I can pray for him. And you know what? It's not some fluke thing. God answers our prayers. And yet we have this hold up that God's not going to work immediately. God's not the way that Jesus worked, you know, that was for them or that's for those kind of people. No, every person in here can walk out here today and be a servant. Every person. And I'll preface it with this. The only way you're going to be successful at that, to give God the glory, is to say, Jesus, I need you to give me your heart to be a servant. I need you to give me your words. I need you, just like Pam did, to give me your promptings. Because when we're dealing with people, can God reveal to us an issue or a concern that they might have? 100%. 100%. And so we can go out, all of us, how many of us? All of us. And we can too also be servant leaders. You know, the last one here, and this is important to think about that, because I just challenged you all to go out and be servant leaders. Jesus would rather endure criticism from other religious leaders than withhold help to those who were broken and polluted. There were several times I can think of one just off the top of my head where Jesus is, I think it's in Mark 3, where Jesus is there and he's getting ready to heal a man on Sabbath. The Pharisees are going to have their way with him, and they did. Well, what did Jesus do? He healed him. See, because he knew that what that man needed was his touch and his healing. And Jesus was willing to serve anytime, anywhere, any place. And I think that rings true, or that should ring true for you and I today, is that Jesus calls us to serve anytime, anywhere, any place. There's no on-off switch for serving God. It's a 24 thing. And the beautiful thing about Mark is Mark encapsulates this servant leader, Jesus. And we can learn from him. We can be in awe of some of the stories, and we can turn around and go out and do the same thing in 2019. And you know, here's the thing. My main point, if Christ, who is King, served others, so should we. Amen? So should we. So this week, I want to challenge you to serve somebody this week, to pray that God would open the doors, open your phone, open something to bring people in your path. And you know what? I promise you that he will. I'm going to ask Connie and Oscar to come help me with this next thing here. Thank you. I won't pull the chair up this far this week. But I have some things that we're gonna talk about right now. If you weren't here last week, this is the time that I pull up the chair and I stop preaching. Say amen. Good. And it's the time I stop preaching and I ask some questions to you, because I want to hear you. And so I just preface it with this. If we ask a question, please keep it to the question, because otherwise I'll have to say, hey, whoa, you're not answering the question. You're giving some opinion or some thought, but keep it to the answer to the question, please. And also, if you've spoken up once, let somebody else speak, unless it's like super burning. You have to say it, okay? So let's do that. So what's something that stood out to you from this message of Mark? And or if you have a question about Mark. Doris? Back there.
That there's no on and off button for serving God.
Okay. Good. What else? Bob over here? Be thinking about it. Do a few people.
Your comment that Mark is a fast-paced book.
Yeah.
We're in a fast-paced world.
Totally.
And I think this is a message that's very important.
There's another sermon I'm working on because of this, about that specifically. So, yeah.
I kind of translated one thing you said. I said Jesus would rather offend than withhold help.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyone else? Back there, Mike. Right there.
It's interesting. It's a song that you had, Make Me a Servant.
Yeah.
And as you were singing that, I leaned over to Princess and I said, that's my theme song for a long time.
Yeah.
But you just put it back in my memory again. And whenever I'm somewhere, I just sing that. And then he sends someone.
There you go. All the time. Princess. And then Steve.
I guess it kind of told me that you don't have to do a big thing to meet somebody's need. That prayer can be just enough.
Yeah.
The one story you told about the two brothers being ministered to by the pastor reminded me to never jump to conclusions.
That's huge. Yeah. George?
Jesus told me to go out and serve my neighbors or anybody outside of my house to serve.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, when it comes to the Gospel of Mark, it's my favorite gospel for me. And it's that way because I took a class on the Gospel of Mark in my undergrad work. And then when I did my graduate work, I also took a New Testament theology class, and it was just on the book of Mark. And so I've written 4 papers, probably on big papers on the book of Mark. And it's interesting because today what we've done is we've kind of stood back from the gospel and we've taken the panoramic view and we've seen what it's about. But what's fascinating is when you go into Mark, maybe we should do Mark next year. When you go into Mark, Mark was brilliant how he put it together, all the pieces of the puzzle. And when you really look at it, it begins to come to life and you see many, many things that are just amazing in the book of Mark. So another question I have here going on to the next one is, how does Mark connect with his audience and how can we do the same? So the 2-part question, yeah.
I'm not responding to this. Oh, I'm responding to something else.
This one?
Well, yeah. I've always loved John, but I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, we have all these different apostles and all their different personalities. And this gives hope to any of a parent who might have a hyperactive child like Mark that even they can serve the Lord. So we need to tap into the personalities of our family members, our church family members, yeah, and our personal family, yeah, members, and let that little light shine.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so the next question. Thank you for that. How does Mark connect with his audience, and how can we do the same? Okay, over here, Greg. Oh, sorry.
Know your audience. Mark knew who his audience was. It was the Roman Christians. Mm-hmm.
My audience daily are my children. And if I am to represent God well, then I need to serve them and not try to overpower them.
It's huge. Yeah. It's huge. Anybody else? How can we do the same? Yeah.
I love the first verse 43 and 44,
yeah,
in that same chapter.
Yeah.
Whoever desires to become great among you,
yeah,
shall be your boss, your servant.
Yeah.
And whoever of you desires to be first, we all want to be first, yeah, you know, shall be slave of all. So that book really does talk about serving, mm-hmm, and sacrifice.
Yeah. And you see that in the Gospel of Mark. At the beginning, you have when Jesus was in Galilee. And then in the middle of Mark, you have his trip between Galilee and Jerusalem. And it's in that time, it's between chapters 6 and 10, that the disciples actually really begin to question, well, why are you talking this way? And why do we have to do this? And there was turmoil on who he was and what their role was. And so as we read that, we can understand kind of the you mentioned, how do we relate? Well, they had to figure out how to relate too.
I was pleased to hear you say that Mark was your favorite gospel. I haven't heard too many people say that, but I too share that view.
Yeah.
Mark is my favorite gospel. Typically people will say John.
Yeah.
Or maybe Luke,
yeah,
for different reasons. But I agree with you. Mark really is a marvelous book and deserves much more attention.
Yeah.
I also think Mark connected to his audience by being a very – he didn't fool around. He cut to the chase.
Yeah.
And he really got very practical and very quick moving. And a lot of people like that because a lot of people think – reading the Bible is boring.
Yeah.
And parts of the Bible I think are boring, but not the book of Mark.
Yeah. That's true.
I have a question for you on the connecting. If this is the same John Mark that went with Paul,
yeah,
he was overwhelmed by his audience before
because, yeah,
he couldn't hold it together. So my question to you would be, what can that tell us of when we've been out there and are scared and lose our courage?
Yeah.
And how God worked through him to actually connect to people. What did he learn through the disappointments out there? Because he was with Paul, who really connected well with people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's connecting this way.
Well, that's a good question. I think, you know, part of my answer to that would be that a lot of, and I said this earlier, a lot of what Mark wrote down was from Peter and Peter's experiences and his firsthand accounts. And Paul didn't have those with Jesus. He had one story with Jesus, right? But Peter had many. He was with him. I mean, Peter was the guy right next to Jesus. And so Mark looked to Peter and said, okay, What can I learn from this? And he retold those stories over and over and over again for years. And so I think to answer the question, I think Mark held on to the experience and the witness account that Peter went through with Jesus. And that's what gave him hope. That's what gave him clarity. And that's what inspired him to go out and write this and inspire others. And so that's a good question. Okay, next question. How can we exemplify servant leadership this week? Do I need to pick on people? I can pick on people this morning and ask you to speak. I won't do that. Maybe I will. Let's see. How can we exemplify servant leadership this week? Denise? Sylvia? Sorry.
I think it's really simple. We kind of make it difficult. One way was I invited my friend Renee. And
who?
I've been wanting
what's your
to.
What's your name?
Renee.
Hi, Renee. Everybody say hi, Renee.
And obviously she needed to come.
Yeah.
And I had been thinking about inviting her, and our schedule had just been so busy that I haven't even had time to come. So it was a very simple thing. The Lord
yeah.
said, just invite Renee to church.
Well, yeah. We're glad you came, Renee.
Yeah. And just going out mm-hmm. and smiling at someone and saying good morning, good evening, good afternoon. You know, that can bring amazing warmth to the heart. And it's so simple, just words that we can give.
It's amazing. Jody and then Doris.
Sort of along the same lines, but listening to that voice in your
yeah.
head that tells you to, like, what your mother-in-law did, pray for people.
Yeah.
I get these, like, notions a
yeah.
lot of the time, and I'm like, oh. No. So I think maybe it would just be actually listening to those
listening.
Little prompts.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a key
scary.
Thing. Jody, thank you. I think this week we need to unplug.
Yep.
We need to have some silence, you know, in the car instead of having it blasting or on the couch or on your phone or watching TV. Just turn it off for a few minutes and be like, God, what do you want me to do? And talk with God. Like talk with him like he's right there and be like, God, what do you want me to do this week? Because I'm listening. And you know what? I promise you, God has people that he wants us to serve and love this week. I promise. I promise.
One of the hallmarks of a true servant leader, I believe, is that the true servant leader does not talk about his good works, but you see them.
I would just want to say that I was very impressed with the story you told about Pam.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a wonderful, simple thing to do. It takes some courage, but it inspired me.
She's getting bold, I'm telling you. She's making me sweat.
Hey, Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I walk around town a lot, and I'm so focused on where I'm going sometimes I don't look around.
Yeah.
And sometimes you see the need, just like Pam did. So I think it's a matter of stepping outside of our own thoughts and focusing on what we're doing or where we're going and looking around and just watching other people.
Yeah, that's true. Looking at what God has in store. Yeah.
I was thinking about making a little chart. I love doing stuff like that. Of 20 people to look for.
Oh.
Through this week.
Yeah, if you're one of those... folks that like to jot stuff down and write and journal and whatnot. Yeah, because God has people, I'm telling you.
I have this plaque in my house that my mom gave me a long time ago, and it says, God never asks about our ability or our inability, but about our availability.
That's what he's after, 100%.
Did anyone mention asking for a divine appointment yet? You know, ask God. See what he wants you to do and who he wants you to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, he will put people in your path that you would least expect. Least expect. So, anyone else?
I had a question because, as you mentioned, Mark has the fewest words of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
My question would be, how often was Jesus listening that we don't know?
Yeah.
How often was he listening to people in the way of service?
Yeah.
And how often, you know, we talk about certainly listening to the Holy Spirit, but I'm wondering what you think about the need for us to, as we're serving people, to, yes, we, like she did at the, you know, pharmacy, but also just sitting down and just taking.
Well, and I think that's where we, and I'm going to go off a little bit here. That's where we get it wrong. We often go to somebody and let's say we know they need prayer, or they want whether it's for healing or spiritual struggles or whatnot, and we think in our minds, you know, this person needs to be baptized. They need to give their life to Jesus. They need to confess to that they believe in Jesus, and let's make them, you know, a church member, so to speak. But Jesus, as far as I can read, didn't do that. Jesus, I mean, he had thousands of people around him, and what was his words? Be healed. He touched them. Go, do this, do that. So here's the thing, when we are able to serve people, we're opening up the Holy Spirit to just do amazing things in our lives continually. It's not about us. We don't need to convert them at all. We don't need to change them at all. The thing we need to do is pray for them and tell them how God works in our lives and how he can work in their lives. And that is what's transformational. And so I think so often, Oscar, you know, we overthink it, as somebody mentioned earlier, and overanalyze it and think, am I qualified enough to do this? And then, no, it's not that.
Like in the old churches, testify, brother.
Yeah.
Testify.
There you go. Well, the lastly here, I want to ask, how can I pray for you this week? What do you need prayer for this week? I'll go ahead and get my notepad out. If you guys have requests, raise your hands up. Speak to the... Okay.
Back in January, I had a major adverse drug reaction.
Yeah.
That caused some paralysis. And those, whoever had a reaction, I had tardive dyskinesia in my left jaw. And I'm starting to talk a lot better than that way.
Yeah.
And I was so into myself. And the VA is very slow, very slow. When am I going to get healed, Lord? When am I going to get healed? And then you had that hope event.
Clinic, yeah.
But I didn't feel good, but I wanted to help and give blood pressures. And I remember going home and telling my wife, I feel 100% better.
Mm.
And I can remember that point. Serving others helps us, okay?
Oh, yeah.
To forget about our troubles.
Yeah. Thank you.
Pray for the Hope Clinic in Santa Maria.
Okay, yeah.
For tomorrow, speaking of service.
I just pray for strength and patience. I love to serve, and my friends know that. But sometimes I get physically drained and emotionally drained. And I just want the Lord to give me the strength to continue and serve as many as he brings to my door. And there have been many, and I want to serve more. And I will, as long as he gives me strength. So if you guys can pray to give me strength and the emotional and physical strength, I will do it.
Amen.
Amen. Jody in the back here.
And I was going to be smart saying, well, was Jesus serving when he was sleeping? And the question, the answer would be, I think, yes, because he was resting up to serve.
Jody.
Oh, sorry.
This is for the current question. How can we pray for you? You want, like, actual prayer requests, like, for us to just, okay. I have a big meeting this week with somebody who has to do with Ben and I's future in Fresno on Wednesday. So if you guys could remember us in your prayers, it's kind of a really important, it's for a custody evaluation. So just pray for that.
Sure. You can do that. How can we pray for you today? George.
I've been talking to the Lord quite a bit about this, and I've asked him, and he said, just ask me, and I will go. I will go where the Lord wants me to go, and I will serve him. I just want to go where he wants me to go.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine. Okay. I just wanted to ask that you could pray. My mother is going to be having surgery.
Okay.
Coming up in October. We just would ask that you could pray that my mom makes it through safely.
Okay.
As well as I have my own struggles. Okay. So I just ask that you pray for me and my family.
Amen. What's your name?
Gabrielle.
Gabrielle. Connie, let's pray right now. Let's do that. Well, you want to pray? Do you pray? Go ahead. Pray for her. And your mother?
Betty.
Yeah. Okay.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for bringing us in touch with Gabrielle and Betty today. I pray that you just surround them with love, with peace, and with healing. Guide them through these trials with a smooth and a speedy recovery. And may all that's done be to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, if it's all right with you, I'll add you guys to our ongoing prayer list. All right. Anyone else?
I would just like you to pray for me to have strength. To deal with my husband's grandma. He just had surgery.
Okay.
To deal with the fact that my mom has stage 4 cancer. To pray for my depression to go away.
So the Hurley family struggles a lot, and her husband's grandmother, they live on our property, and she's had surgeries, and none of them have the wherewithal really to take good care of themselves. And so if you could please keep the Hurley family in your prayers. Their grandmother is suffering from terrible stomach issues, and she's gone through a few surgeries, and they're still not sure what she has or how to help her, and she makes it a little difficult. So Linda Hurley needs prayer for understanding that everyone is working toward her well-being and to make the right decisions and also for healing.
Thank you. You know, I don't think you came here on accident today.
Absolutely not.
God had a reason for you coming in, and I think we can surround you and pray with you today. So a few of us are going to surround you and pray. Oscar's going to come over here, and I'm going to ask Oscar, actually, to pray for you this morning. The Hurley family, right?
Okay.
Let's pray.
Dear Lord, you've heard the message today that has been preached from up front, but Father, you want us to go from the platform to the pew and to the hearts, Father, of those that are hurting. And you brought Renee here today, not to be in a building, but to be with your people, to be reached when she is hurting, and to be with her family, her mom who is hurting. And Father, the emotional hurt is much more profound and aching many times than the physical, but we ask healing for both. We ask healing. We ask for harmony. We ask for your spirit to be indwelling in them and all those around, Sylvia, other friends, Father, that your presence will be known and that you will be praised and glorified through this. Mm. Father, we know that you are listening and that you have been eager for us to have this opportunity. And we ask for this healing and for your name to be uplifted and for Jesus to be glorified.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Anyone else have any prayer request this morning? Mark.
Yeah, I'd just like to ask for a prayer for Rosanna's sister. She's dealing with some cancer issues too, and there's decisions going to be made this week as far as, you know, what's going to happen. So anyway, if you could just lift her up, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, it touches my heart that y'all would share this morning your needs and your desires. It touches my heart because we serve a God who longs to hear those and longs to come into those situations and to work and to show up. And so I just want to affirm you this morning for, first of all, for sharing those prayer requests, but also give you some hope and encouragement that God is already at work.
Amen.
And he's already moving in all these situations. And we as a church, the staff and the elders, I long to hear these and pray. And I'll be honest, when I'm in the front and we say, oh, fill out a connect card to pray, and week after week I don't get anything on there. But then after church, when we open it up and I get 10 people, I know we all need prayer. So I'm encouraged to hear that. And so as we close out today, I just want to close with prayer this morning. So let's bow our heads. Father God, you are truly amazing. And this morning, Father, we've looked through one of the Gospels that gives us a picture. It puts the mosaic together of who this Jesus was. And we saw that Jesus was love in action. He was a servant, the greatest servant of all. And he gives us hope, he gives us encouragement, and he gives us a model to follow on how we can go do the same thing. Father, this morning, we want to pray for the Hope Clinic that's going on in Santa Maria. There's going to be a lot of broken people that go and are looking for help there. I pray, Father, that they can find healing physically, but also spiritually. Father, I want to pray for Sylvia and her strength and her patience to continue to serve. Father, build her up. Give her what she needs so that she can give others what you have for them. Father, I want to pray for Jody in this meeting that's taking place on Wednesday with Finn. And Lord, I just pray that you give her right now your peace and your comfort and your assurance that you're with her, next to her, side by side, this whole week, and you go into that meeting side by side with her, knowing that you know the beginning from the end and you want to bless her in this situation. Father, I want to pray for Gabriella's journey as well and her mother. Lord, please bring healing. Put your miraculous working hands on her mother. And Father, this morning, the young woman that's family is going through a lot of trouble and heartache as well, I pray for her to have understanding, to have peace, and to have encouragement, Father. Continual encouragement from those around her. That means all of us. And Father, I also pray for Mark's wife, Rosanna, that you would just work in her sister's life. Father, cancer is not in your plan. It never was. But Lord, we deal with it, and we deal with sickness, and we come to you now in this situation. We ask that you would work in mighty ways in her sister's life, to bring your healing physically and spiritually. Because Father, we know that you are able to do anything. And so Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to work in these situations. We ask that you'd be glorified, that you would be seen, and that our faith because of it would increase. And people would be astounded because you're a God of miracles. You're a God of hope, you're a God of comfort, and you are a God of love. And so as we leave today, Father, may we remember that. May we remember that there are people out there who are looking for that as well. Keep our eyes and ears open to those, and may we serve them as well. And I pray this today in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen.